this thing. No title again?
And I did not leave me a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Chick, chick, chick. And a very timid welcome to Dixon Jane's podcast, post-holiday, back-at-school edition, whatever number this is. I'm sitting in Bluffers Park, and this is my third trip here, and I was just about to leave. I had the engine fired up. I was just about to drive, because for the third time, I said, no, I got nothing to share with those folks. I'll just go home now. And then got in my car, looked out the front window, which I'm looking at now. I'm sitting in the car. And it's such a beautiful fall day. It's just that, you know, the cool breeze, sunshine, fresh air. It's the season I love. September, October, when you're back east, east meaning Canada, can just be so beautiful. So that just prompted me. I'm looking at that little inlet and across at the bluffs and sunlight on the trees, and it just makes me happy, happy, happy. So here I am. I don't know what I'm going to give you right now because some of you will have had an overdose of me. I released the three podcasts from my holiday trip together, back to back. And they sort of spoke for themselves. I'm not even going to talk about that. It was fun doing because I had no plan whatsoever. Just recorded clips and then slapped them all together, and there you have it. But now, we're back in a new phase. It's fall 2013, and I'm back at school. This semester, I've only got one class to teach, three times a week. So I get my 8 hours, which is good. But usually I have 14 hours, so my salary is going to almost be cut in half, which is not good, but mentally, oh, thank God, what a relief. This is a really much lighter load. I mean, the same group of students, so I've only got to learn, you know, a dozen, 15 names, maybe 25 if we get a full class, but that's it. And just prepare for those three classes, and already I'm enjoying it. The first day back was just, you know, that scary thing when you go back and you think, holy shit, I'm still in holiday mode. And I forget what I'm supposed to do, and I even forget where do I post marks, and how does this shit work, and gee, what's my password? And in case of the first day nerves, you know, and you get in, how am I going to teach? And already, by the second day, I really like the students in my class. It's always, this is a very special class I teach. I would guess I'd call it almost a special needs class. They just need a lot of remedial work for various reasons. And so interesting. Such a mix of personalities. I give them an introductory sheet. I'm sorry, this is probably going to be about school because that's what I do. Most teachers hand a sheet. They want their name, their number, number of years studying English, first language, second language. Just facts. And I give them a two-page handout. So take it home, give it back to me tomorrow. And it's got, like, what makes you unique, you know, so that you'll stand out in class. And that's a hard one. What are your strengths? What are things you'd like to change about yourself? If you could meet anyone in the world living from the past or present, who would it be and why? And it tells me so much more, and it just, you know, I'm not bragging about my way of teaching. There are better teachers at the school, far better teachers of grammar than I will ever be. But I do relate on a personal level, and I was just reading through these papers about, you know, that gives me information, not facts about, you know, doesn't mean anything how long you've been in Canada. I can tell by the way they write their answers how good their English is. It's giving me the assessment, it's giving me the information I need, but it's telling me something about them as individuals, especially that who would you like to meet and why. And, you know, we get a Barack Obama and Oprah Winfrey, but very often it's my grandmother or my grandfather because of their hardships, and it's always, always interesting. So I like that part, and I like the fact that this particular job and teaching this particular class really allows me opportunity to be creative and go with what I've got, and sort of, I've got to stick to the curriculum, but I can veer off on tangents and try and do things in a more interesting way. At the same time, I'm motivated to really help these students. They need it for their careers, for their future in Canada. Okay, enough school. The other day, yesterday, in fact, I called up the doctor, the Shoppers Drug Mart. Said, okay, got to renew my meds. Oh yeah, we'll check. We'll contact your doctor, and they call me back and say, hey, we gave you meds for like 2-3 months. Your doctor says you've already got all the meds you need, and I'm thinking, oh my God, something's wrong here. I must have lost them or confused. And it was that, again, that sort of panic. As you get older and you start forgetting things, and you go to tell a story and you can't remember a name or a place, you really do freak out a little. You really do get, oh my God, is this the beginning of the end? And I couldn't keep track of my meds. I couldn't have lost them. And you start going worst-case scenario, you know? Like, maybe when you're younger and you forget, you're thinking, oh, fuck, I just fucked up. What's the matter with me? But when you're older, like my age, 65, you start thinking, oh, Christ almighty, this might be a one-way trip down that black hole, and I ain't coming back. It's frightening. It's scary. I thought, I can't let this go, and I went to the Shoppers Drug Mart and found out, it was the doctor's fault. Oh, thank God. He had thought I was only taking one pill a day and issued that many. In fact, I'm supposed to be taking two a day. I know the details aren't important, but it's that overall picture of thinking, am I really screwing up? Am I really starting to lose it? Like, who's going to look after me? Am I going to have the courage to put a bullet through my head when it's very clear things aren't right? And, of course, the scary part about, you know, early Alzheimer's or something, not so early in my case, but is that you won't know and you won't care, you know? You just sit there and shake your pants and smile. Oh my God, what a thought. And I don't think anybody else would have the nerve to smother me with a pillow or do anything like that. But anyway, turns out, hey, no problem at all. I was back up on the computer system at school, knowing what I was doing quite clearly. And the meds was actually somebody else's mistake, not mine at all. I'm not going crazy. And that's a huge relief, believe me. So, there's another little tangent. I won't brag about it, but it was great meeting Jen Fox and partner in Halifax, just briefly, basically so she could see the rock. But she did have an awful lot of nice things. I'm just saying, this is a listener, you don't know her necessarily. It was the first time we had met. She was able to come out to the bar with her partner, nice guy, and wow, make me feel good. Hey, here's somebody who actually listens to my podcast and really likes it. Thank you. That's because there are times when you're doing this and you're wondering, what is the purpose, and is there any relevance, and why am I doing this? In my case, I don't really have much of a choice. You can tell that. You know, I got to do it. But when you find out there's actually sometimes some value attached to it, that it might mean something, it might resonate with somebody else. And in Jen's case, it clearly did. Wow. It just makes you feel so good. So, hey, if there's anybody else out there listening and you want me to feel really good, send me a note, send me an email, and tell me. Okay? I'm not begging. I'm just saying. Okay? That's all. But meanwhile, I'm going to do this anyway. It was good catching up on the Jonathan Files, one of my favorites, mostly because I absolutely love the relationship with Dr. Dave Brodbeck and his son. It's very endearing, and I hang on to every word. I really, really do. And tip, tap, tip, because they are so rude. My God, the two of them, they are rude. I just posted a comment to that effect, and that is exactly why I keep listening to them, because they are so rude. And sometimes, you know, around certain people, you got to be polite and just, oh my God, you got to be in your best behavior. You know, like when I did that podcast about what a nice guy I am, and you really sometimes just want to let loose. None of that trouble when I was with my buddies camping. God damn, that was a nice trip. And I hope to make another one, although really, it would be really nice if I could take a holiday with my wife sometime. I said, let's go to Montreal. She said, oh, I'd love to do that. So I got to start planning out more holidays, you know, and more more breaks, and certainly to give my wife a few more opportunities instead of just me, doing the things I like to do. God, have we gone on for 10 minutes already, and have I even touched on anything? Syria, so depressing, so upsetting. They're going to be precision-limited bombing again, says Obama and his administration, just to teach them a lesson. You just got to feel so sorry for the refugees, the ones who are trying to escape. Here's a tie-in with my teaching. Sometimes you hear the word Pakistan, and I don't know about you, but to me, you get images of crazy mobs shouting and chanting, down with America, you know, burning bush in effigy, and madmen, and, you know, threatening things. And you just, there's this sort of almost a poison journalism. This is what you see. And it just happens that in my class, perhaps, I might have students from places like Afghanistan, Ethiopia, and others where you sometimes get these stereotypical images handed down to you on CNN, and you meet instead an individual who is thoughtful and gentle and kind and intelligent and educated and wanting more educated and full of love and consideration and care, the kind of people you really want as Canadian citizens. And you think, oh, thank God, I can still see people as individuals, because that's the only way you ought to measure them. And so you can't help but feel so desperately sorry for all those poor people who are having to run away from their bombed-out cities and the threats of war from one faction or another, and cry for the people in Iraq who are just out bombing each other in the name of very often blind religions, tribalism, just pure hatred, ignorance. And it's just so sad, because the good go down with the bad. So anyway, I think I'm going to just stop here. I have lots more. I brought with me my two books. Hang on while I fish them out. The book on the taboo against knowing who you are by Alan Watts, which is one I'm really liking. I found in my library, it was so great to go into my library and going back decades, finding other books by Alan Watts. Maybe I've got half a dozen by him. I did finish, as I mentioned, and enjoyed Zen Effects, The Life of Alan Watts by Monica Furlong. And there was so much of just clear expression of what his thinking was. Let me just read something here. I don't know if this is relevant. I hope it rings true. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pause now. All right, this is a pause. I'm going to give you a pause. And if what I read resonates and makes sense, I'm going to leave it in. And if it doesn't, that'll be the end of the clip, and I'll go on to something else another time. So, pause.
Yes, I gave up on Alan Watts, and I found a quote instead by Timothy Leary I'd like to share with you. Admit it, you aren't like them. You're not even close. You may occasionally dress yourself up as one of them, watch the same mindless television shows as they do, may even eat the same fast food sometimes. But it seems that the more you try to fit in, the more you feel like an outsider, watching the normal people as they go about their automatic existences. For every time you say club passwords like, have a nice day, and weather's awful today, eh? You yearn inside to say forbidden things like, tell me something that makes you cry, or what do you think deja vu is for? Face it, you even want to talk to that girl in the elevator. But what if that girl in the elevator and the balding man who walks past your cubicle at work are thinking the same thing? Who knows what you might learn from taking a chance in a conversation with a stranger? Everybody carries a piece of the puzzle. Nobody comes into your life by mere coincidence. Trust your instincts. Do the unexpected. Find the others. Oh, I love that. Timothy Leary, thank you.
When I wake up in the morning, I get out of bed. Go to the kitchen for bacon and eggs. My head's a pounding. I can't remember a thing. So I open a bottle, start all over again. Well, oh me, oh my, my heart's a-aching, but I can't cry. Won't you tell my baby I'll be coming home soon? I got the mean moonshine, mean moonshine blue.
Characters came from the mind of the brilliant and now departed John Hughes. Think of all the movies that he made. He captured so many different aspects of, you know, really living in the 80s and the 90s. But it's just a genius. And he just really knew people. He knew how to share that on the screen. He captured it, I guess. You know, that's the magic of it. That's why National Lampoon's Vacation and so many of his other movies, including Christmas Vacation, just really, you know, they stand the test of time. So this will be the last full-length Up in the Spring podcast, at least until the middle of next month. We're going to go to a monthly schedule for these now that I'm enjoying the quick pod format, you know, the little short 10 or 15-minute podcast. It's just easier to, you know, just talk about whatever topic I have on my mind that day, especially since after about 10 minutes I run out of brain power and share a song with you, and then save these for what the podcast was originally meant to be, and that was sharing, you know, sharing songs and talking about, you know, themes that have to do with actual music. And you know, today we played some stuff off one album, and in September I've already recorded another album from
LP. But I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to tell everybody.
And
you want to tune in to Jason?
You know, save these for sharing music.
That's Up in This Brain.
You know, music I really like.
And he's doing the full feature length Up in This Brain, as well as the quick pods. He's talking about. All right. I'm gonna stop there. Thank you. Because I'm gonna start my own show here, in my most embarrassing position, which is always the Eglinton Go station parking lot. I've talked to a few people about it, and some people actually claim to like it. They don't mind when I get drunk and stupid. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with that. I only had 4 pints tonight. I had 4 pints. With Brian, my beer-drinking buddy. And he said, well, you know, we can have another half. And I said, no, I've had enough with 4. And we left on earlier than usual. Usually we catch the last subway. We left a little earlier. Not ashamed for only having 4 pints. I wish I could tell you what they were. There was a King's beer, which is a dark lager. I had a cider, a spirit guide or something. A cider, which was good from Caledon. I had a pumpkin ale, my last one. And the first one, oh yeah, was the Bose. Bose had another special one. So those are the 4 pints I had. And that was enough. Always have a good time at the Only Cafe. And now I'm back here in my car. I've been listening to Jason, my new friend. I feel like he's a friend. I feel like, I mean, I think he listens to this show, at least from time to time. And I feel like we're friends, you know? And I realized, because I was listening to him on the way into the Only Cafe, and I realized, you know, what is it you like about these podcasts? Guys aren't talking about, you know, astronomy necessarily or deep philosophical contents. You know, they're just being themselves, who they are. And you realize, well, that's exactly the thing I like. I want to know there are other normal, weird people out there. And by weird, I mean people who aren't afraid to be who they are, who have some degree of self-awareness and carry on. You know, they know how strange life is, but they still just carry on and maybe give it back to us in some form of creativity, whether it's art or music or podcasting or whatever, you know, and that's good. And that's what I hope I'm doing to you too. And I know, as I've bragged many times before, there are some people who really like the Dixon Janes podcast. And boy, that makes me damn happy. Because you do not get behind this business without a lot of doubts. So anyway, what did I want to say? Brian is heading off to South America, and I wish him well. We talked about marriage. We talked about, I mean, he met his wife, future wife, and I met her the same night up in Kano, northern Nigeria. We just talk a lot about family and friends. All right, here, confession. I step out, you know, after my second pint, I step out, pull a little pen out of my pocket, pull out a half a joint, you know, find a dark doorway and light it up. And that always makes me so much happier. I just like weed. I like the effect of smoking a little doobie, you know, not getting wasted, not stoned, not crazy, just, that's kind of nice. Wow, digging that music, you know. Ooh, hey, holy Christ, look at the ass on that one. Woo! You know, just that kind of a vibe, you know. Nothing weird about that. The thing is, as a parent, you're sort of ashamed. Oh my God, what if my kids heard that, you know. And you think, well, that's who I am. And, you know, that's one of the areas to explore on a podcast like this is your relationships with your own father. And I've whenever I've been honest on this show, I've talked about, oh, I wish I knew him a little better as a person and not just this image we had of a father. And then afterwards, you know, somebody we didn't know. But anyway, so there you are, warts and all, here I am. I thought I had a lot of really brilliant things to say. And apparently, as I sit here holding this mic in my hand, knowing it's recording every word I'm saying, I'm realizing, oh my God! Oh yeah, here's a big one. I got to give a speech tonight, actually. Anytime after 7 at a wedding. A wedding I cannot mention on Facebook, so I'm not even going to mention it on the podcast. But I'm going to a wedding tonight, and I've been asked to give a speech, a 3-minute speech. And I thought, all week, okay, you better write that down, you know. You better work on that. You don't know what you're going to say. You better just write that. But the other voice, as I mentioned this to Brian, he says, well, you're not going to do that. You're just going to do it ad lib. That's how I do it. And he goes, yeah, that's the test of who we are. I'm not going to write a fucking speech. I'm just going to say it. But because she insisted on the 3-minute mark, I'm going to put my timer on there and I'm going to, boom, click 3 minutes and watch the countdown and just see what information I get out in that 3-minute period. And if I even get to the point that she would like me to get to about, you know, one life to live or sudden death or love you forever. No, what was it? There was a, oh yeah, one life stand, not one night stand, one life stand. 3 minutes, got to work that in somehow. I don't think it's possible, but we'll see. So, that was a problem solved, you know, if I have the courage to do that. I got to piss. God damn, I got to piss. So I'm going to have to drive home. So you're not getting very much out of this one. It's probably just as well. What have we got? 7 minutes, 8 minutes. I am feeling good, and I'm feeling good because I had 4 pints of beer and a couple of tokes. All right? Fuck you. I'm happy about a lot of things in my life right now. I really enjoyed my first week of teaching my students. I like my class. I like those students. I feel I'm just in a perfect place teaching the kids who need a little extra special understanding and patience. And, you guys teach me because we'll work on this together. See what we can do. And, that's what I want. So there you go. I'm going to leave it there. I didn't ramble. I didn't rant. I didn't scream. I didn't yell. I didn't sing. But I threw a few words your way, and that's all you're going to get tonight. So boys, girls, dicks and jeans, listeners on a regular basis, God damn it, thank you so much. Bye for now. Ooh, yeah. We're going to sign out. Let's get the music back, all right? I want some music here. Oh, whoa. Buddy, hang on. You can't do that to our listeners.
Existential moment where we saw the couple in the coma, and it was, we were the cliche, but we carried on anyway. So sure, I could just close my eyes. Yeah, sure, trace and memorize, but can you go back once you know?
I still gotta piss. You guys know me, don't you? I think so.
So what I'm trying to say is
what
I'm trying to tell you is not gonna come out like I wanna say it, cause I know you'll only change it.
Say it. You don't know me.
Fucking song, eh? Especially when you gotta piss. Kinda like it though. Alright. I'm assuming that's an end, beginning of something else. Fuck you. Alright, I gotta go. Thank you. It's probably really good, but signing off. Talk to you tomorrow.
Say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin. When I say that I'm okay, well, they look at me kind of strange. Surely you're not happy now. No longer play the game. People say I'm lazy, dreaming my life away. Well, they give me all kinds of advice designed to enlighten me. Shadows on the wall. Don't you miss the big time ball. You're no longer on the ball. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. I really love to watch them roll. No longer riding on that merry-go-round. Questions lost in confusion. Well, I tell them there's no problem, only solutions. Well, they shake their heads and they look at me as if I've lost my mind. I tell them there's no hurry, I'm just sitting here doing time. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. I really love to watch them roll. No longer riding on that merry-go-round. I just had.
Check, check, check. Smell, smell, smell. Kind of a stink around here, like somebody took a shit. Hope not. Speaking of that, I just listened to the latest from Norm Augustinus. I guess it's called shit. I don't know. I was lying on my back on a picnic table. I'm here in Bluffers Park. I came early, got myself a McDonald's breakfast, just snuck out of the house. My wife and son are both sleeping, and it's one of those little wonderful Sunday morning escapes, you know. And came down here, glorious day, and I do confess, I had a my dung, it's called, came out August 31st. Lay on this bench, and it was great. I was just looking up at the trees against the blue sky. The wind would come in and just blow those leaves and trees. Glorious fall day, early fall. And Norm was just breaking me up. It was just, you know, I guess it's an acquired taste, maybe like this podcast. Some people can maybe get past the repetition, the way he describes stories in this circular fashion. But he's a master. He really is. So I'm here at Bluffers Park, and up to now I've just been enjoying listening to podcasts. I will confess, I just listened to my
concluding Maritime Holiday Podcast, the third one, 416, I guess. And I liked it. I liked that I had music from two bands. By the way, that was, and I didn't say it on the podcast, but I put a link up on the blog. That first song, Drinking Alone, was by the Backyard Devils, and I told you that was the guy, Chris, who joined our campfire and at Meat Cove. And the second one was by Morgan Davis? Keep forgetting that one, I'm sorry. Ooh, there's a link up. And I can find it if I go through my iTunes here. He did the blues, and hearing the blues live, I just absolutely loved it. Listening to a CD of the blues, to me, it's not quite the same. You really need that Morgan Davis, that's who it is. You really need that sound of being in the room with the person and really hanging on the lyrics, you know. So it's a little different. But anyway, I bought the CD and said I'd play it on the podcast, and there it was on the last one. Now I'm going backwards. Why am I doing that? I guess I've been catching up on podcasts since I've been away. And I was just about to leave the park after a glorious 2 hours spent here, just lying in the sunshine. Thought, no, I better, hey, you came here. This is your place, buddy. Don't back out now. Give them something. I think I have a little bit of stage fright of, you know, you want these podcasts to mean something. You want the words that I'm giving you. I don't want to just fill your time. I want to always give you something that you can walk away with. And I know that's maybe a problem. That's maybe something that I'm trying to insert or apply that doesn't really need to be. It just is what it is. Anyway, let's get out of that. Damn, I'm getting tied up in a knot. What did I want to say? Yeah, I was at a wedding last night. I'm not free to say whose at this point. But I was asked several months ago in a bar if I would give a little speech, be honored if I would give a little talk. And I thought, well, okay. And I think it's because, you know, I'm old, I'm ex-hippie, and she wanted it to be. And she said, you know, talk about love. Okay. So I sat with it, and even on this maritime trip, the holiday I was on, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to have to come up, you know, it's September 7th, I got to come up with a speech. But then there was a couple of guidelines added. One, it had to be 3 minutes, no more than 3 minutes, maximum 3 minutes. And I took that really seriously. Okay, well, I'm going to have to time this then, all right. So I'm sort of caught between, do I prepare a speech? Do I write one? Or do I just wing it, which is when I'm at my best usually, you know. But when you wing it and you only got 3 minutes, man, you got to get it right. You got to be on. You got to be, you know, you got to be right in the game. Because if you reach your 3 minutes and you haven't got to where you want to get to, you're scrambling. So I was in a pub the night before, like the Friday night. I was out with Brian at the Only, you know that. And I was thinking, okay, wing it or write it, which one is it going to be? And at that time, I decided, no, I'm just going to wing it. Got up the next morning, no, you better write it. So I start researching. I started going online for love quotes. And I came up with a bunch, and they were pretty good. You know, I singled them out. Lucille Ball, I think, just said something, you got to love yourself first before you're capable of loving anybody else. And the Buddha says the same thing, you know, self-love. But I chose carefully out of a lot of, you know, out of maybe 14 pages of quotes, I chose some that I thought were relevant and could work in a speech. And then I was trying to tie it in and move from, okay, it's really not about love, just it's really about, to me, respect. Because if you don't respect the person you're marrying, you've got nothing. And that's really what makes a marriage work, is always respecting your partner. Because love is kind of one of those things that's hard to define, it's hard to pin down. But respect is easier to get, you know? It's not easy to get respect, it's easy to understand what respect involves, what it is. And then I moved from there. I thought, well, wait a minute. Now, it's not just about respect, because you can have respect for law and order and respect for the president, but there's no love attached to it. Okay, well, that's not exactly. Well, then it's acceptance. Acceptance. You've got to accept the other person for just being who they are. Let them be who they are, and then it's going to work, you know? And I thought, okay, that's the point I want to eventually get to after this definition of love, after these quotes about love, after moving on to respect and then transitioning from respect to acceptance. That's the end point. And I look at it all now, holy fuck, man. I haven't done a dry run. How long is this going to take to read these quotes, and you got to pace them. You just can't hurriedly read through a series of quotes. You got to make a transition for each one, you know. And I was going to make, you know, how this person reminded me a bit of Lucy. She's crazy like Lucille Ball, and therefore I thought this was an appropriate quote. And I end with a Lady Gaga quote because it's all about acceptance and love and tolerance. Oh, well, that's perfect. And of course, it's funny being Lady Gaga, and I'll make a joke about that, you know. Anyways, no, this is going to run me more than 3 minutes. This isn't going to work. So I go, I print it off, I've got the notes, I have an idea in my head where I'm going, but I just haven't done that dry run, and I'm thinking, okay, dude, get in the car, get your recorder out, time it, do a dry run on this. I don't do that. Instead, I just, and I'll know what to do. I've got the notes to go by, and I know what to do. I get to this wedding, and the minute I walk in the door, and there's a guy in a suit, or a guy in a white shirt, black pants with a tray of Prosecco, the bubbling wine, and everybody's dressed up and suits and ties. Immediately, I feel fuck. I feel awkward. First of all, I'm bringing my wife with me. I don't think that's relevant to this part of the story, other than I'm very happy she came because she's a bit shy and she didn't know any of the people. I said, that's okay, you know. It's going to be a room full of strangers we're all going to meet. A lot of people did not mingle, of course, but that's another story. It was great to see some of the people I knew, but I knew right away I felt really, really uncomfortable. Okay, man, whoa, you can't do it. That speech that you wrote, it's not going to fly with this crowd. Like, that was the first feeling. There's a feeling of anxiety, okay? Then there's another feeling of, it's just not going to work. I'm not going to be able to pull it off. It's just, I was thinking of being with familiar friends, like faces, like when I do a speech at the Canada Japan Society or when I used to. I knew the crowd. I knew who they were. This is a room full of people I don't know, and it's just, I don't feel at all that I belong, that it's going to go. And I call her. I see the bride, and I call her. I said, look, if you don't mind, I really don't want to do the speech. And thinking, oh, this is awkward, but I got to tell her. That's cool. That's cool. No problem. That's okay. Just glad you came. She was super, super nice about it. The other people I was with who knew me and knew they were at the same bar when she asked me were a little surprised. Hey, well, I can't. Hey, come on. You know, you're supposed to. You got to do it. You can't weasel out, you know. And they don't give me a hard time, but they're sort of pressing a little bit. You can't do that. You have to speak. Come on. You can do it. You're good. I just don't feel right at all. And while I'm doing that, I'm thinking full circle. You remember the story of my first wedding that I was invited to be a best man, and I weaseled out of that and didn't do it, and I was never forgiven, and I'm just starting to think, oh my God, am I regressing back to the point? I didn't do it the first time, best man, because I just didn't have any confidence. Have I got to the point of suddenly all my confidence is gone? Me, who's bragging about how much confidence he has all the time now? Is that the reason I'm not doing it? And I thought about it again today, and it's not just that. It wasn't just the confidence. It just didn't fit. It didn't feel right. There was another thing she told me that I should like me to include, besides it being limited to 3 minutes and very much stressing the 3 minutes. And by the way, none of the other speeches were limited to 3 minutes. She said everybody's speech is 3 minutes maximum. Well, her father went on for 10 or 12 or 15. You couldn't hear him, and, you know, not to badmouth anybody. I'm just saying, it appears I was the only one who took this rule seriously, and it did cramp my style. Not that I'm making excuses. Yes, I'm making excuses. All right. He caught me. Not only that, she said, well, there's a theme of not one night stand, but one life stand. And that was sort of an idea they had. And it's a beautiful idea. It was a theme for the wedding, one life stand. Well, I didn't get one life stand. And maybe I've told you this already. It threw me for a loop, and I thought, my God, it sounds like they've joined a cult. I've got to research this one life stand. What group is that they've joined? Because I've never heard of it. Well, I missed entirely the point that it was a one knife stand, one night stand, play on words. No, it's a one life. That's it. We're together forever. I missed that. And so that was another little kerfuffle in the background, you know, leading up to this. Well, I got to work that in. It's got to be 3 minutes, and I have to work that in, and the theme has to be about love. Well, fuck, I just don't work that way. And I don't feel bad today not having done it. When I realized the other speeches went on, they weren't mic'd, nobody could hear them anyway, they went on too long, I really felt kind of relieved that I made that call. Like, it wasn't a mistake, it wasn't me chickening out, really, it just wasn't the right time and place to read those quotes. I would have been better had I had more courage, perhaps, just to wing it, and I might have been able to, but even then, it just didn't seem right. The best man spoke, the father of the bride, father of the groom spoke, and the father of the bride spoke, and that seemed enough. They didn't need this other character coming in to talk about love. It would have been a bit corny, I think. So there you go. Feel a little awkward, although I guess she probably doesn't listen to this podcast. I don't think she'll mind. And today again, I was in her bad books because I posted a picture. I took a wonderful picture of them looking into each other as the minister. There actually was a wedding. There was a marriage ceremony. Was pronouncing them man and wife, and it was a great picture. And I posted it. And she asked me to take it down because the husband had not yet posted his things. I only put up, she told us, don't put anything on Facebook, and then she posted this morning. I thought, oh, green light, okay, she's done, I guess I can now. But no, I had to wait for him to do it first, which is understandable, and I apologize profusely and sincerely. It was great that my wife did come out to this. I met a lot of, you know, people who I know, and a lot of them through the Canada Japan Society and other people, and I did duties in another way. Although I backed down from the speech, I made a point of speaking to her brother, who is very shy and uncommunicative. And I knew that, and I walked up to him and had a long conversation about Ottawa with him. I made a point of speaking to the father of the groom to reassure him that her son had picked a very fine woman who was very special. Perhaps they might not have been so sure, I don't know. And I spoke to the father of the bride. I made sure my wife got introduced to Japanese-speaking people. I made sure my wife had plenty to drink. She will insist this morning it was too much, I know. But it was kind of refreshing to see. They had, oh, what a bar. Like, all the bubbly you could drink. Top-quality sake you can't get here. Brought by a Japanese importer of sake who happened to be at the party, a lifelong family friend. Those went down well. Several of those. Then another high-end bourbon, Kentucky bourbon, that I haven't drunk since I've been in Japan. I used to drink that at Takemi's. And so both my wife and I got a good stiff bourbon, which was lovely. And beer and red wine and everything else. And managed to catch the GO train home just in time to get home at a reasonable hour and up early this morning and right here to Bluffers Park via McDonald's. So it's been a great day. I guess I don't know what kind of a clip that was, but why the hell do I have to measure them all the time anyway? I'm just talking. And some of you don't seem to mind that. So there you go. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, buddy. Looking up at the bluffs, I can't dismiss where I am, like, as if I'm just talking in a vacuum. I'm right on the rocks, right on the edge of Lake Ontario, staring right across at what this is named after, the bluffs. When the sun hits these monsters of clay, they are so beautiful, and it's just, It's a flat, well, rocky, jagged surface of clay and rock. And then at the top, it's just completely taken over with green. You don't see houses. You just see green as far as the eye can see right now. It's just amazing. Everything is sort of behind them. This green ridge of thick with trees and plants. Oh, stunningly beautiful. I take pictures of it all the time. It never, never captures how wonderful it is. So that's it. Shining out from a beautiful place. And it's what's great about it, I've mentioned this before, when you go camping, you go to a new place, you're looking with great awe at everything that's new around you. This is not new, but it is still stunningly beautiful. On top of that, there's a whole family taking over the top of the hill here, which is wonderful. You know, you can have a whole part of the park to yourself. They are under one of those glorious weeping willow trees, and they are barbecuing something spicy and tasty smelling. Boy, I better get home and eat. Bye for now. Scarborough Dude signing out. Love you all. That's the way I'm feeling today. Anybody listening to this today, I can say, I've been very reluctant to say it in the past. It's been very difficult for me. Today I can say it. I love you all. I really do. Bye for now. Sunshine coming down. It's Monday morning. It's the start of a new week. And I realized as I've looked back over these past several podcasts, I haven't offended anybody in quite a while. I haven't been insulting. I haven't ranted too much. So I'm going to have a go at it right now. Two topics, if I can get it in within 10 minutes. Number one, Quebec politics. If you're not from Canada, you may not know that we have a separatist premier of the province, Parti Québécois leader, Pauline Marois, I can't pronounce that well, M-A-R-O-I-S. She's coming out with something that's called Quebec Values. Now, this really bothers me, because if you're a longtime listener to the Dixon Janes podcast, you will have heard the Scarborough Dude ranting on about how we need a clear set of Canadian values. And it doesn't mean dictatorial values. It just means generally, what does it mean to be a Canadian? What do we really believe in? And, of course, I always put at the top of that list sort of a tolerance, and I would have a certain amount of personal freedom, too. You know, for example, so that individuals could take LSD or smoke pot whenever they wanted. Now, of course, you can't take acid and drive a car or a freight train, you know, but you know what I mean. A certain amount of tolerance and understanding and flexibility and gay rights and all those things that I think are important for new Canadians to have. Well, she's beat us to the punch, damn it, and she's coming up with Quebec values, but one of them is that in the workplace there will be no signs of any religion. So this is a clever way of saying the true French Canadians, the Catholics, maybe they don't have to wear a cross and so on, but if you're wearing a turban, that sort of is a sign of your religion, or a hijab might be a sign of your religion, and those cannot be worn by people in the public service. So this has caused an uproar, and she's saying, well, look what's happened to multiculturalism in England. They're throwing bombs at each other and punching and fighting. She's not looking at Canada, the rest of Canada, like Toronto or anything, as an example. She's looking outward at Europe, where multiculturalism does not seem to be working. And so basically it's a ploy to get French Canadians separatist, basically a stronger base to support her, and also distance herself from the rest of Canada, and slyly on her part, or the party's part, get an overreaction from Canadians who are going to take it to the Supreme Court and say, you can't do that, and then it becomes a battle, us against them. And this is exactly what they want to do. So I'm not all that disturbed about this. This is big news story. Oh, my God, it's terrible. Hey, doggy. Stupid little dog. Anyway, maybe that's appropriate, stupid little doggy. I just feel if I was French Canadian, if I were French Canadian, pardon my grammar, I would be so much in defense of my language and my heritage and my history that I would feel threatened by other people coming in. Canadians as a whole don't feel that way because we all feel we are all immigrants. Boy, I'm really generalizing here. And I guess the bigger beef to me is that most Canadians, especially out west, I'm talking about you, Alberta, maybe BC to some extent, don't care about Quebec. They don't care. They just think, oh, they're a bunch of ignorants, they're French, they're separatists. Let them leave. And it really, really bothers me. Canada needs Quebec. I've always said that on this podcast. And I guess, of course, that's showing my Quebec roots, my Montreal roots, my love of Canadian history, starting with the St. Lawrence. And so I'm understanding of what they're trying to do. I'm not in support of it. I want a counteraction. I want Canadians to come up with what are core Canadian values. But the problem is you can't do that under Harper because I don't like Harper's Canadian values. So I'm depending on the Liberals to come up with this. I applaud them for going ahead and taking a stand on decriminalizing pot. Thank you, Pierre Trudeau, or son of Pierre Trudeau, Justin. Anyway, so I'm just going to park that, I guess. I don't know what my point was other than they're making a huge fuss about it, and that's exactly what she wants them to do. The English Canadians, the media, Western Canada are all going to fall into the trap of being baited by the Quebec separatist politics. Okay, other point. There's been a great controversy. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What's the world coming to? I think it started with Mount Allison, then turned out it was at UBC as well. These are universities in Canada, Eastern Canada, Halifax, and Vancouver, British Columbia, where Frosh Week, of course, where everybody gets drunk and finds out who the hot chicks are and gets led on by the seniors to do bad things and stupid things and make asses of themselves, all in the name of building spirit and being welcomed into fraternities and clubs and so on. We're leading chants that involved the word young, and the lyrics centered around the fact that we like girls who are young, underage, without consent. No consent was at the end is for. And this caused a stink, and it's all over the newspapers and all over the media, and it's a crock of shit. And I'm sorry, some people, I'm not making light of rape or advocating men chasing underage girls and forcing them to have sex. No, that's clearly wrong, but that's not what it's about. It's this political correctness that suddenly, oh my God, heads are rolling across the country. People are being forced to resign. People are having to go to re-education. Think of Chairman Mao camps to learn about appropriate behavior and cultural sensitivity down with all these bad values. The point I want to make is these stupid assholes chanting this stupid, meaningless song, which they've been doing forever, are not the boys and girls, boys, let's say, who go out and attack and rape and catch underage girls and do bad things. York University here in our very own city of Toronto has a problem with prowlers on campus, with rapes, with gropings, with all kinds of things that are happening on a regular basis, you know, and drugging women in bars and dragging them home and having sex, you know, and they wake up naked wondering, where am I? How did I get here? This is who you go after. This is the problem. These young Frosh students are not doing that. Instead, they've chanted some stupid words, and God damn it, all this political correctness shit. People outraged, oh, this is terrible. This is ban them, fire them, you know, kick them out of the university. All this overreaction, this storm in a teacup over something. Yes, it's offensive. Yes, it's immature. Yes, it's stupid. Yes, they should have different lyrics. Yes, stop them from doing it next year. Yes, 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 yes. This is not a problem. For fuck's sake, the world is on fire. We're on the verge of dropping bombs in Syria. Meanwhile, these children and women and people running off by the millions to refugee camps and The world is just a shit pit right now, and we're worried because some fucking goddamn frosh students got up and chanted, "We want underage girls, like we want to see their panties," kind of stuff, you know? God damn it, that isn't the fucking problem, you assholes. And the fucking media is filling up all its time when there's all these bigger issues, more important things to be talking about than this, filling up the press. And oh my God, it's on TV, and they're interviewing, and they're getting people to come up and speak their mind about this, and this is outrageous, and this day and age, I can't do it. And everybody wants to come out on the right side of this issue, because that's how you save your fucking ass in the academic world and the bureaucracy, and that's how you become a principal and a dean and everything else. Oh, make sure you come down on these people, because, oh, that's so wicked and evil. They're not the ones doing bad, evil acts. They're drunk, they're assholes, they're immature. Big fucking deal. Oh, I won't go on any further. That just... can't you see that this... There are so many other things to be upset and outraged about and truly, truly indignant about. This is not one of them. Fuck. All right. I'm done. Talk to you next week, eh? That felt pretty good. Ooh, I actually had to get out of my bench and storm down here. If anybody was watching, holy fuck, we got another man. Boy, call the police. There's some idiot storming through the park here. This guy's nuts. You put a collar around him, you know? Rope that man down. All right, we're done. Talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Dixon Janes podcast.